Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. How to start and stay in business in a sluggish economy is a challenge for any business, but perhaps even more so for the small local businesses that may not have the financial resources to ride out the times. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on today's program with an academic who is an expert on entrepreneurship and with two small business owners. But we will begin with one entrepreneur whose company has been fighting a well-publicized battle to stay in business. The company is Local Harvest Grocery. Outstanding debt forced Local Harvest to close its relatively new store in Kirkwood. Its Tower Grove store and two affiliated restaurants faced possible closure. The owners went public to raise funds earlier this year and raised $120,000 in just 6 days. Owners have promised to use it to pay debts and restock the store. Some investors and critics complained about how that money is being used. Co-owner Maddie Ernest joins in studio to talk about it. Maddie, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me, Don.
You've been weathering quite a storm.
Yes, we have. We have.
How do things stand right now?
Well, we were very excited about the campaign and its success. We really, when we launched the campaign, had no idea how it would go. And it's never a position you want to be in, of course. But it's funny, in talking with our customers, they told us they never doubted. They never doubted that we would raise the money. So where we are right now is that is we've completed step one for us, which was bringing in the money to be able to kind of pay off some immediate crises. And then the second part for us is to bring in an equity partner. And we are fortunate to have a team of people who's working pro bono with us to work us through that process.
Is the way I described what's been going on with you at the top of this program an accurate representation of what happened? Oh, I want to be sure that we have it right.
Yeah, I think we've been in business for almost 7 years. We opened in June of 2007 with the grocery store, and we moved to a larger space a few years later, and we opened a cafe in that time too. And when we were approached to open up a store in Kirkwood, it seemed like a logical thing to do at the time. And in retrospect, obviously, it was something that looked really wonderful on paper, and it didn't pan out, which was what happened is it just pulled on our other businesses a lot.
When you say it looked good on paper, elaborate on that a little bit. I assume you have to do due diligence when you're going to make a big move like this.
Exactly. Meaning that we had a space that had already been a store. It was kind of a well-established area. We moved into a community that supported a farmer's market and was a community where we knew we had shoppers already from the Kirkwood community and around that area. And it seemed, again, to make sense on paper, but it didn't work out for a lot of reasons. And, of course, you can always go back and I would do 10 million things differently, of course.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah.
I mean, they always are by almost any entrepreneur. I'm sure. What do you make of the critics and the way they came at you?
Well, I think it's always easy from the outside to look in and make criticisms. And it is hard. And I have been very open, as so has my business partner, about talking with people if they wanted to have conversations about that. I think that along with the criticisms, we've had just as much support for the fact that sometimes you dream big. And our vision for moving and expanding was always to create a market where we could allow greater access for people to buy local products, to have more arena for our farmers to be selling. And all the intention was, let's promote local regional food because Missouri and Illinois has that. And so all of our intention was so good to do that.
I think one of the things that I've heard and read most about people complaining about using the money you raised in this crowdsourcing way to pay taxes and that sort of thing. Is that something that surprised you, or did they know it going in, perhaps, that that's how the money would be used?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they knew or not. We were certainly public about it. And when we launched the campaign, we launched it to our community first, meaning the community of our supporters, our shoppers on Facebook. We have an email list, so that's where it went first. And to publications like Feast and Sauce, who have been with us along the way, and then also with the Post-Dispatch. It got launched all over. But the initial place was our community. And in letters to our community, we talked about our struggles with taxes, and that was where some of the money would be going, yes.
Is the tax problem resolved? I mean, have you paid your taxes?
Well, we're working with the Department of Revenue. We don't have all the money released yet because of the way the campaign was. You don't get everything right away through Indiegogo and crowdsourcing sites like that. But yes, that is in the works.
Before we continue, you need to mention the community. We solicited comment from members of your community. And
okay. You
say it's been all been very supportive, and that is borne out by what we have received here. Let me just read a couple of them to you. I'm sure
okay. You'll
be heartened by it. Chris writes, I loaned Local Harvest during their campaign. It's not a gift. I look at it as a loan short term with decent interest rate of 10%. That's a pretty decent interest rate,
right.
I guess, if you're on the receiving end. And I did this for the cause, not only in which I believe, but to a group of people that I want to see succeed. Local Harvest has been a critical part of the revitalization of Morgan Fort. I figure if TARP can be used to bail out banks that created their own sad situation, then I can make a small contribution towards keeping an otherwise vibrant business in my neighborhood. Kathleen writes, a dollar spent in a small local business has greater economic impact for our community than does a dollar spent in a non-local chain. Keeping our spending local generates more income, jobs, and growth right here. I assume that's the kind of things that you've been hearing and have heard throughout your campaign.
It has, and it's been a very humbling experience, of course, when you put out things like that. And it's very, I think probably what was controversial about it is it's unusual for a business to go public with their struggle. But people have really stepped up and been coming forth to tell us what it means to them and what this business means to them. And we had over 1,100 people spend or purchase essentially on average $100 in gift cards or punch cards.
What do they get in return? I mean, we've talked to others who have gone through Kickstarter, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and they have different mechanisms for rewarding people in a modest way for what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Ours is really different. Because we've been in business, we knew that we have a different responsibility to the community, obviously. So what we did is if you spent $100 and you chose gift certificate as your level, you'll get $110 to be used in 2015. And then with the punch card, for people who wanted more kind of an immediate reward or payback, which I totally understand, they would buy a $100 gift card, but they could use $10 each month for 1 year. So actually it's $120 value.
What do you make of this whole concept? It's really catching on here and elsewhere.
It is. Well, for us, it made sense because our mission is building a local food community. And what we have seen is we really our community has demonstrated to us, too, that that's what we have been doing is building a community. And you don't realize that sometimes until you go through something like this, that how strong it is. Mm. And I think it's also that people, in terms of like the larger picture, it's nice to be able to control and have some buy-in to what you're creating in this world. And I heard this quote recently. It's like, you know, when you spend a dollar, you're creating the world you want, right? And so this gives people the power to do that through crowdsourcing. And
were you surprised? You indicated you were surprised how quickly you raised the
yes.
money. But in terms of this as a concept working, were you surprised by that in general?
No, because I've seen how popular it's been. And we work with, I don't consider myself young, but I work with a lot of young people through Local Harvest. And I see the popularity, online, too, of Indiegogo and sites like Kickstarter and people liking that participation in their community.
It's really changing the entrepreneurial world, I think.
It is. And it's a good time because it is challenging to get bank loans, especially for new businesses and in certain industries harder than others.
Yeah. You talk about the community effort. I have one more paragraph I'd like to read here. This is from Stephanie as part of that solicitation that we did. It says, with the impending closures, I simply could not in good conscience watch a local business disappear without trying to help them financially. I imagined walking or driving by two boarded up businesses on Morgan Fort. I was not prepared to accept that.
Yeah.
It's really community taking charge of itself.
It is.
I want to take a phone call here because I think Brandt in St. Louis will kind of bear out that comment. Brandt, are you with us? Brad?
Hello?
Yeah, Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Brad. I want to say that I don't have a whole lot of money right now, but I went by and I spent $30 at the store a couple weeks ago. And I want to take this one step further. I want to challenge everybody. I live in the city, and I take it upon myself to patronize restaurants that are in kind of up-and-coming neighborhoods that are maybe a little bit dodgy to some people, because they are the pioneers that stick their neck out on the line and put down $150,000 or $200,000 to open a place. There's a Vietnamese place on South Grand called Kim Nagan, and I patronize that place quite often. And part of the reason is because they are in a place that's failed a lot before. And I want them to surge forward and to help make that neighborhood, I guess it's kind of a little bit south of Grand and Chippewa. I want that neighborhood to really blossom, because that's what's going to bring the neighborhood back. It's going to make it more walkable, and other businesses will come later.
Brent, we've got the point. Our time is limited here, but I want to thank you for making that point. You know, as we listen to these people, as I listen to you, it really becomes strikingly clear that this is a kind of a new era and a new way of doing things with a wonderful potential.
And first, I just want to thank Brent for coming into the store and shopping. We really appreciate it. And we saw that a lot. Like, people who maybe couldn't or didn't want to do the campaign, but they were like, it reminded them, I think, of not only that Local Harvest was there and our cafes were there, but also that small businesses are there and they create the community. And he makes some excellent points about that.
We talked off the air about the importance of small business. You have about 50 employees, some of whom are part-time.
Right.
Give me your words, the importance of small business and its impact on a community.
Well, we thought often, you know, when we were making these decisions, like, do we need to close? How could we stay open? What could we do? And in our business, we, because of the nature of our business, which is building a local food community, we're tied to a lot of vendors and we have very personal relationships. So you think about them, you think about your employees, but I also think about our street that we're on as its own little ecosystem. Like they were saying, if the doors were shuttered, what would it look like on our street? And some businesses have been coming in and you feel a connection because businesses need small businesses need other small businesses to create the vitality of that region, of that area.
If you had to do it again, would you do it again this way?
As of right now, yes, I would. You know, it was our option at the time. And maybe I think what we would have done is maybe done it a little bit sooner. We contemplated it a couple months ago, but you keep believing like, okay, well, this will happen or this will happen, and you keep trying the best you can.
You had to do this, and I'm making an assumption here. Correct me if I'm wrong. You had to go this route because you did have debt, and it was significant. And I guess borrowing more would have been most difficult.
Right. Correct.
That's it. Okay. Now, as our time winds down, what advice do you have for people who are either contemplating starting a business or who are in business, want to expand, or who are in your position of having some significant debt?
I would say that one of the things is just reaching out into the community who's already there for you for ideas. And I would say when you are in your darkest hours, if that makes sense, sometimes you can have your most creative solutions come. And to really pull from that. And that St. Louis really does have a lot of resources. And even now, I mean, I feel like we are still just learning so many resources that are out there for us. And there are people who want small businesses to succeed and will work with you.
Yeah. We have an email from Trey. Morgan Ford wouldn't be the same without them. Buying the certificate was one very easy decision to make. I'm going to take one more call. I thought we'd be finished, but Kim looks like he or she might have a very interesting comment here. Let's bring Kim into the conversation. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. Good morning. I am a supporter of Local Harvest. In the past, have eaten at the restaurant as well as shopped at the store. So appreciate, like many other callers and emailers, that Local Harvest is there in the city. And was just disappointed to see what was happening with the failure of the Kirkwood store, but really am hoping that with some help and support that that you will stay, you know, in business and using dollars and wisely, I'm sure. Wondering whether there are any changes or alterations that you have in mind for either the restaurant or the store as a result of, you know, some of the struggles of more recent months here, and whether you could share that.
Okay. Thank you. Well, thanks again for shopping and supporting and your phone call. In January, we actually did rework our cafe on Morgan Ford, and we changed it to a different kind of concept that would address some of the issues we'd had at the cafe and also tie in more with our grocery store. So the menu there is different. It still has its focus on local foods first and foremost, but the options are different. We're doing more easy to carry out foods that can be sold at the store. I would say it's kind of like slow food fast. And then we can also sell those in our grocery store for people who really just want to run in and out. So we're tying the businesses a little more closely together and how they can work together.
All right. Well, Maddie Ernest, any expansion plans?
No. Expanding our minds.
First things first.
Yes,
let's finish up the current situation. Maddie Ernest, thanks so much for being with us. We wish you best of success at Global.
Thank you so much for having us.
Obviously a very popular place. All the communications we've had here on the air and through email have been most positive.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. In a moment, an expert on entrepreneurship and two local business owners join us. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.